Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Black Opinions Matter. Motherfucker. Joined as always by my homies, John Gervais, of course, and Black Trade. Amin is out this week for rest purposes. He's doing, what's load managing this week? On today's show, we're going to get into the latest episode of Power. Talk about Snoop Dogg, of all people, complaining about explicit lyrics. The Verses got canceled this weekend. We want to get into the evolution of Verses, man. How it started during quarantine and where it's at. Corporate acquisitions and mergers and all of the stuff that's involved with Verses when it started from, you know, Teddy Riley having horrible internet. But first, we want to send a special rest in peace shout out to Tiny Lister, Compton, Los Angeles native and legend of the movie business, of the wrestling business, of just, you know, just Black culture. He's been a mainstay for damn near 30 years now. He passed over the weekend. And so, Trey, I want to open up the floor to you because, you know, for me, he's just somebody I saw in all kinds of movies, right? Like, I was telling somebody, he's like the Black Danny Trejo in that way, right? Like, he basically pops up and he's the same dude in everything that he does, right? Like, and everybody knew him. Of course, I think he's probably most famous for being Debo, to the point where, like, his name might as well be Debo. But he's just a legend. And I definitely wanted to talk to you about, you know, somebody from your neighborhood ascending to that. And not like, you know, he's not like an Anthony Anderson, who's also a Compton native, but like, you know, a professionally trained actor, comedian type. Like, this dude is from the block and was able to ascend into Hollywood, man. Just talk about that for us, man.
Yeah, I mean, dude, when you just nailed it, like, honestly, like, he's the Black Danny Trejo, but also, you know, when you really think about it, he bodied that role as Debo to the point that he was going to be Debo for the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying? To the point where they're even doing illustrations of him stealing halos in heaven. You know what I'm saying? But when you really think about how his career started with just being a professional wrestler, and then, you know, being in a film with Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred, you know, and, you know, embodying the whole villain role in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? He stood 6'5". You know, and how the camera would pan up, you would think this guy was 7 feet, you know, and they always, you know, made him mad brolic. And, you know what I'm saying? He was known for his physical stature. But on a personal standpoint, man, he was one of probably the first celebrities I ever met in my life.
Wow.
And one of the situations was he always gave back to where he was from. You know what I mean? And Compton Christmas Parade happens in every December. He would have his float. And he would pass out his headshot and it'd be black and white photo. And, you know, obviously during the time of Friday, like that was huge, yeah, to Compton, right, for one. But then everybody's like, yo, that's Debo. And you know what I'm saying? And he owned it. You know what I'm saying? He owned a little bit of everything. But as you think about, obviously, how much he bodied Debo and being in Next Friday, you can go down the line with all the movies that he was in. The Fifth Element, The Dark Knight, Runaway Train, Jackie Brown, Posse, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Austin Powers Gold Member. Mm. I Got the Hookup. You know what I'm saying? Never Die Alone, The Wash, like The Players Club, bro. Like, he was in all the hood classics. And for that, he just also was so much bigger than Compton, bro. He just became like a world figure in that standpoint. And, you know, even to the last parts of his life, he was doing little spots trying to scare kids about staying inside for COVID. You know what I'm saying? And was like just really using his talent to the right aspect. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that people was able to give him his flowers. You know what I'm saying? He got featured. You know, I don't know if he was at that game when he was at the Clippers game. He rode out on the bike. You know what I'm saying? And how much he means to the culture, not just Compton, but just, you know what I mean, the ghettos of America. You know what I'm saying? So shit, man, the house shoe that ain't even called the Debo's is nicknamed the Debo's because the nigga was stepping on the back of some swap meet house shoes that were really comfortable, and the way he wore them made them even more comfortable. So, you know, we lost an icon. You know, 62 is very young, man. They still haven't came up with the autopsy of how his causes of death. But man, he's going to be truly missed in the city, but also in the movie industry.
Jerv, what's your relationship to Debo? Because, you know, stuff like Friday, Thin Line Between Love and Hate is right in your, you know what I mean, your wheelhouse. You know, obviously all his work resonated with cats like us from the neighborhoods that we're from. What was your sort of relationship with Debo and his work?
So for me, you know, and, you know, definitely rest in peace. And Trey is absolutely right. He is Debo. But I remember him hitting the scene. What was that? No Holds Bar, or whatever it was. The Hulk Hogan movie. And, you know, I'm not Rob, but, like, I was heavy. I was heavy into wrestling at that point.
Yeah, you was a Hulkamaniac.
Point in time. Oh, bro, I ate my vitamins. You know what I'm saying? I tried to rip my shirt. You know what I mean? But back, you know, I didn't successfully rip my shirt because, you know what I mean, my parents ain't play that shit. I wasn't just about to get a new shirt. But, nah, like, you know what I mean? So I remember when he hit the scene. And, you know, I was always, I didn't know all the stuff that he did, you know, outside of just the entertainment business. And, you know, but it was always a joy when you would see homie come on the screen, whether it was, you know, a major role like Debo, or whether it was something super duper minor, but he just killed the role, like, you know, Players Club when he set the whole rumble off. You know what I'm saying? Like, homie's presence was always felt. I think you hit it right on the head, the nail on the head when you said he's the Danny Trejo of for black people. You know what I mean? He of hood classics. You know, it's definitely going to be someone that's missed. 62 is super, super duper young, man. You know, so just, you know, rest in peace to him. Shout out to his family, man. Keep, you know, and just, you know, everybody that just loved and was impacted by homie, man. You know, just, you know, my heart and everything goes out to them, man. Whenever someone is lost, no matter if you have a personal relationship with that person or if you just have a relationship where that person just impacts you by you enjoying their craft and things of that nature, man, it's always tough. So, you know, rest in peace to him and shout out to his family.
All right, man. So, you know, obviously our thoughts are with the people who were closest to him and with all the people around the world, really, who loved his work. Rest in peace, Tiny Lister. There's no easy way to transition here, but we do got to go to verses. We had a verses scheduled between Ashanti and Keisha Cole. Because verses now is an in-person thing, whereas when it first started, it was all remote. It had to be canceled because Ashanti tested positive for COVID-19. Obviously, this virus has claimed the lives of millions of people at this point now. You know, it's a serious issue, but I'm not going to lie to y'all. I laughed when Ashanti said, I don't know how this happened, when she's on a plane every single day. She's literally been traveling for months now. Like on a literally like a weekly, damn near daily basis. So I found it to be hilarious. But you know, it was funny because it got people to talking, Trey, about the humble origins of verses, right? Of, you know, Swizzy and Timbo being where they was on Instagram Live, shabby audio quality, shabby visual quality, but the people just rallying around it because of how difficult and how shocking just the whole pandemic and quarantine was initially in March to now, you know, these dudes done sold the rights to Apple. It's millions of people every week. You know, we got to watch, Gucci tell Jeezy to his face that he killed this man. And if he sent another dude, he'd kill him too. The evolution of this thing is just crazy, but I did think it was dope that people was like, man, back in the old days, COVID or not, this would have went down.
The crazy thing about back in the old days, we're only talking about 6 months.
Right.
Which is crazy how long 2020 has been. But, like, you're correct. I mean, Ashanti definitely was not taking the right precautions to prepare for this. And I hope that she, you know, recovers from this, you know, really healthy. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, most people spent time researching her life and pulling up pictures and saying, ain't no mask in sight. And, of course, this is how you got it. You know what I mean? It's always... You know, you don't want to be a COVID guilter. So at the end of the day, I hope that her and her camp continues to get well. I'm kind of glad that this didn't happen. I mean, for the homies that got girlfriends, because it would have been some PTSD, if, you know, if Keisha Cole album rang out and y'all get hit for some past nigga shit. Some shit that y'all wasn't even with your girl yet. And, you know, but I thought it was pretty dope. I was seeing women, you know, get into their outfits and really dress up and play this up, only for it to be shut down. And to your point, Waz, you mentioned how if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, the situation was working in two different separate locations. Obviously, Nelly and Teddy Riley are the infamous guys to have technical difficulties, but we've since improved it, and I don't think that we need to have one prime location like a boxing match. And this still could have happened, but I obviously, you know, with the rights being sold, I don't know if it's pressure from up top to have these artists in the same place and use these special type of cameras and sound quality to make these events happen. It just seems to be like that it's going to be like sports, you know, like guys get COVID and then you have to cancel the event and continue to cancel it. And I mean, obviously moving forward from it, you know, hopefully people learn to like, because I don't know how much these artists get paid for it, or do they reap the benefits of streaming, or however it is set up for them to participate in this. But I do hope that, you know, learning from it, that you kind of have to be disciplined in order to do this battle. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to lock in a couple, like at least 2 weeks before you start getting wild again. Win the battle and then go back and get lit. But yeah, man. And then now we have the infamous Bay Area with E-40 and Too Short. I know Jerv is probably going to make a face. But before, much love.
Before we get into that,
Jerv, like I talked to my man yesterday, and him and his girl basically like they had food ready. They was about to pop some Prosecco. They was about to get into it for this battle. Were you somebody who was looking forward to the battle? Because like so. I can say for myself, like, I don't lock into every single versus, right? If it's artists that I'm interested in, I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm not, like I don't really care about the format. I don't even care about the sound quality. As long as I'm interested in the artist, I'm going to lock in. Ashanti and Keisha Cole, like, I'm not going to hold you. Like, I'm not R&B smooth. I ain't an R&B dude. Like, I don't really do the R&B thing too tough. So I wasn't like, I didn't really care. Right. But I know from my timeline, like people were really about to lock in with this, Jerv. Were you about to lock in?
Hell no. I had no plans whatsoever to watch this, Joan. I'm like you, bro. Like there's every two or three battles that pop up. I'm like, I'm good. You know what I mean? I might tap in just to, you know, to see some of the comments to make sure everything's going smooth. But I had no plans to watch this. I probably would have watched it just on the strength that I would have, you know, something would have happened. Somebody would have tweeted something. Somebody would have hit me and been like, yo, you got to like, yo, I mean, no, nah, you know, I'm fronting. I definitely would have tuned in just on the strength just to get a quick peek. You know what I'm saying? Just to see what it was hitting for. You know what I mean? Just to glance at the lovely queens real quick. But other than that, bro, nah, like I was cool. I was amused by the amount of my amount of people on my timeline that right. were just like hurt. Like, I mean, you know, and I mean, shout out the verses, bro, because it's like it's a testament to how y'all were saying, like where
bro,
it's come
people
from.
People are planning their day around this event.
Like these are date nights now for people. These are date nights for couples. These are gatherings for squads. You know what I'm saying? Like I know for the Jeezy and Gucci John. Like I know homies linked up for that John. Like you know what I mean? Like homies really linked up and were like, yo, come through. You know what I mean? Do this, that, and the third. And you know, so it's amazing.
Bro, it's like the fight. It's like the
fight. Like it really is a fight now, bro. Like it legit is. I get super duper excited when I see a versus come up and I'm like, damn, that, you know what I mean? Like when I saw Gucci and Jeezy, I said, all right, bet. You know what I mean? This is me. I know what I'm doing that night. You know, this joint that was supposed to happen, you know, I was like, you know, I'll pop in. I see what it's hitting for to say I was there. Like one of them things was like, yeah, I was there, but I didn't really stayed for the event or whatever. So I wasn't hurt. I feel sorry for all those that playing their Saturday night around it. You know, these is crazy times. We're back on lockdown again for those that are choosing to be locked down and quarantined. So I know a lot of people had their henny. I know a lot of shorties went and got their outfits together, got their hair done. You know what I mean? The homies brought out the velour sweatsuits and the bucket hats and all that shit, man. The henny was definitely flowing. I saw a lot of henny bottles being posted on Instagram. So I feel sorry for those people that didn't get what they want, man. But hopefully Ashanti learns from this. Hopefully she's healthy. And when they do it again, the 90s babies, the era of real music, the era of real hip hop, the era of real R&B, those people that are fans of that will get what they want.
Were you trying to lock in with Ashanti and Trey? Sorry.
I mean, I really didn't have any like crazy plans. So yeah, for sure, man, there's always something to do. And I also bang with both of those artists. Like Ashanti actually is one of the first chicks I had a crush on. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like as an artist, you feel me? The crazy hair, the sideburn joints was nuts to me in high school.
Yeah, Glen Cove, Long Island Zone, man. Glen Cove is a suburb in Long Island, not too far from Queens, probably like a 25-minute drive from Queens. So I knew people from that neighborhood growing up. I knew people who knew her back when she was in high school and stuff like that. Like she's a bit of a local legend where I'm from. So definitely got a lot of love and respect for Ashanti for sure.
Yeah, man. So being able to watch both of these women career bud and, you know, get to where it was is definitely dope. You know what I mean? Keisha Cole getting the Kanye co-sign early with the beat. You know what I'm saying? And she did her thing on her album. And Ashanti, obviously, she got some bangers. She could have pulled a Thug Motivation 101 and maybe washed Keisha up off that first joint. So, you know, all fun and games, you know, it depends on what borough or what hood you grew up in and how you going to feel and what type of because I feel like for the ladies, that's more of a personal battle than anything because they got memories attached to those songs. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it would have been a banger to hit. Hey, man.
Somebody was about to get boxed upside the head for rocking with
also,
those.
Also, she could have used Let's Get Blown. Mm. Keisha Cole. She was the Can I Get My Thrills?
Oh wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's a bomb fact.
How often do you use excuses like I had a long day at work or I'm just not feeling it? It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medication with free two-day shipping. Free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM. That's GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/BOM, B-O-M. Get 15 bucks off.
All right, so you mentioned the next joint that they actually announced. They announced E-40 and Short Dog, Too Short. Obviously, the legend doesn't even do them justice for what they mean to the Bay Area. Like, these guys are gods, right? For Bay Area, Too Short specifically, I can speak to because my older brother was a huge fan of Too Short's. He had a lot of fans on the East Coast, Too Short did. And I just remember popping the CD and just hearing him say just the wildest, most flagrant shit. Like, that's what Too Short is known for just, he will say the wildest shit. And he's definitely somebody who keeps it true to the game. And we talking about the game, y'all. We not talking about LeBron and KD, y'all. We talking about and Short Dog is definitely true to the game, man. Just a legendary figure. E-40, I obviously, like, Raps, as I was growing up, Rap City was my favorite freaking show, period, on TV. And that was my way of learning what people were listening to in the Bay. What, you know, cats was listening to in Houston with joints like Lil Troy, Wanna Be a Baller. Like, stuff that you would never hear on Hot 97. And so E-40 was just a cat that was just, all right, that's a Bay Area artist. I didn't really know nothing about what he meant to the town until I got older and I actually met people who were from the Bay who were just like, oh, nah, 40 is it. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it'll be dope just for what they mean to the places where they're from. You know, like I said, Too Short had songs with Hov like early, like 20 years ago and all of that. So like, I feel like Too Short definitely just has a coastal appeal on the East that I don't necessarily see from E-40, but obviously, again, these dudes are just legendary in the Bay.
I mean, when you think about these two, bro, you think about Vince Carter, bro, playing 20-some years, bro, and still being able to do something, at least contribute, and they still dropping albums to this day. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. Like, I don't know how they still do it, but they do it, and E-40 find a way to get a slap out there. And for those that's listening, bro, don't use slap with food. Slap only go with the music. E-40 is the originator of all this lingo, all this shit, the cool shit that niggas talking. Before when Noriega and them was hitting all that slime and all that shit, E-40 was out here politicking all this trunk, talking all that. You know what I mean? The fashizzle dizzle and all that. Snoop got all that from E-40. So we always going to pay homage to the godfather of slang. But like you said, Waz, in a coastal standpoint, Short Dog got some hits with Big, got some hits with Jay, Scarface.
He got two joints with Jay.
He got joints all over, and E-40 got joints. That's the thing. Like, E-40 got, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know Jer Fool with Automatic with Fab. Like, he got some heaters in there. Tell Me When to Go, you know what I'm saying? Like, and obviously the young boys kind of turned their nose up on them and had to kind of be redirected and pay homage. Because, you know, anytime some new artists come around, they always think that they better than the OGs. Right. And the OGs always trying to put them on game. So when you really think about the game that E-40, you know what I'm saying, and Too Short was really given to these young partners in the game, like, that's not, you can talk about East Coast artists who actually done chopped it up or did a show in the Bay and actually done got coached by these dudes. So despite, you don't have to bang with their music, but you have to bang with their longevity, their craft, how they able to, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the first real mixtape artist, honestly. Literally no record label selling it, literally cassette out his trunk, teaching the game. Master P came to the Bay and learned that hustle from E-40 and them. You know what I'm saying? They company, you know what I mean? Overall, so shouts to the Bay in general. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but you know what I mean? They done broke a bunch of artists and a lot of artists done grown up under them.
Yo, it's funny that you say that they might not be everybody's cup of tea, because you know that's not really they really not my flavor of tea. But at the same time, I have the utmost respect for the two homies, legends. You know, and it's one of them battles that I'm going to tap in, but I'm not going to plan my night around it, right? Like, if something, you know what I mean?
I'm telling,
like,
you, if players ball drop.
No, so like, it's
this
the thing.
You're going to be in here percolating.
No, so like, bro, like, it's one of them joints with, like, it could go one or two ways for me with them battling. If Too Short, I'll just use him, for example, if Too Short decides to go mainstream and just play all the shit that he then put out, like y'all mentioned, the joints with Hov, the joints with Big, you know, like just the classic tracks that he has that like that have tapped into the East Coast. I'm here for that. I gotta say this respectfully. Matter of fact, I'll just leave with respectfully. If they play cuts off of album 33 that only been played at B-side parties in the Bay that I've never been to, that I've never heard, I'm off that. You know what I mean? And you know, I'm not saying it's trash. I'm not saying it's not good. You know, it's just not for me. But I will tap in because this is I will tap in. I'm not going to play my night around it, but I will tap in just because I think that this is probably one of the more interesting battles just because of the dynamics that's with it, the type of music that these cats have put out. And, you know, like Trey, you said it best, brother. Like, E-40 needs to get all his flowers, dude. Just you know, the slang was wild to me in the beginning. It was super duper wild. It was crazy. I didn't understand it. And then here I am 15, 20 years later, whatever, when the shizzle, my nizzle, and all that shit is fly now to say, you know, I'm on the wave. You know what I mean? Like, I used to hear E-40 say crap like that when people would play, and I used to be like, what the fuck is he talking about, right? Respectfully. But at the same time,
In the words of Asaha, isms. That's, hey, pimp, bro, talk. That's all it is from the Bay. It's, yeah, isms. Shouts to Chicago and shouts to the Bay. Isms. Shouts to
Detroit.
Hey, man, that they was the soundtrack of a
Detroit
genre
too.
Of
Sodom
of shit
Pop.
That, they was a genre of shit that, like, I was into watching. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all that Pimps Up, Hoes Down. Can I say that?
Of course.
Am I tripping?
Of course, you can say it.
Pimps Up, Hoes Down, all that, you know, all that shit that used to come out when on HBO and all that stuff, like that stuff that I used to be like, oh, this is crazy. Like, what is this world that everyone's talking about? Like, I don't even know what this is. And then you hear these dudes talking about it, and then you get introduced to, like, the West Coast is wild to me. I think that, you know, I love the East Coast, but the West Coast is one of the most interesting places to me, because it's like, we over here, we do our thing, and then over there, it's just a whole nother world. And I think that they were introducing us to a world that, me as a dude from Philly, I had no idea what that shit was. But as I got older, I started to learn things. I started to be around certain things and hear people say that they did this and they seen this. And it's the shit that they were talking about, man. So I think it's dope that these two artists are getting their flowers. It just, I'm not setting my alarm clock for Saturday, 8 p.m. You know what I mean? Like, I'll catch it, but I'm not setting my alarm for Saturday, 8 p.m. or whatever day it will be on.
Look, my thing is, I'm going to watch this because, and I think people should understand this. In order to understand a sort of vibe or a culture that isn't your own, you need to experience it where it lives, right? Like, I can't send you some go-go records for you to understand it. You have to actually go to DC and go to a go-go. And then you'll be like, ah, I get it now, right? And I think the same thing is true for Bay music. Like, last time we was in the Bay, Trey took me to a party. And Bay people, if they're going to do one thing, they're going to party, right? Like, they're going to dance, they're going to have a good time. And I was like, okay, I get it now. I get the music. I get what it's supposed to do.
All cultures,
too. I get
too.
What the feeling
you,
is.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm you saying? Was with the yeah. White Bay homies even going up.
Of course, of course. And so that's why I'll be interested to watch it, because I know it's going to be a party for sure, for sure. Do we have anything else on E-40 or
stream his latest album. That's all I got.
Stream their latest album. And, you know, one last anecdote. B.I.G. tells a famous story about E-40. I think he talks some shit on a record or something.
They was in Sacramento.
Or in an interview or something. E-40 got word, booked him for a show. Big didn't know who was booking him for a show. He got there and E-40 was like, yo, fam, you was talking crazy. I can get you got, fam. And Big had to pay homage and be like, my bad, brother. Said it sorry. And everything was love afterwards. So that's all you need to know about
oh,
E-40,
he done ran up
monster.
On Rasheed Wallace too, man. Listen, first of all,
you don't play around.
You don't play with it. You
don't
talk about OG crazy.
Mob ties, baby.
Oh,
right,
Earl Rasheed. Stevens wine. That's what it is. Go get his wine. He got a wine.
Go
out.
Get his wine. Support the wine.
Oh, hold
moving
up.
Moving on.
Okay, can I just ask something? Yo, that wine comment made me think of something. Yo, I was trying not to head this way, but I just tried that fucking 19 Crimes, the Snoop shit.
It's good. Yo, yeah. I had it. It's really
I thought,
good.
Bro, I was trying not to try it because I was like, oh, here we go. Negroes is Negroing, right? Uh-huh, oh, they throw uh-huh. Snoop on the bottle and it's
exact
money.
Same feeling and thought, 100%.
But I tried it, bro, and I don't even like red wine. So if you telling me to try Earl Stevens wine, bro, here you go. I'm locked in. I'm going to try it. I'm all about trying things. I just had to put that in, bro, because I Negroed a couple weeks ago and I tried the Snoop wine, so I'll Negro again and I'll try the Earl Stevens.
I'm telling you, you're going to really bang with Earl Stevens.
It's official. And my girl, who's a bit of a wine snob, she even enjoyed it. So it's official. Y'all go out and get that if it's in your local stores.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know I've been through it. I've had problems at work, problems in relationships, you know, even problems as a parent. Sometimes you don't know where to turn to or who to talk to, particularly when you don't want to talk to someone who knows you, who might have a bias or might hold what you're going to say against you. You want to talk to someone who's experienced and licensed and at the same time distant and removed from you. BetterHelp is here to help. They'll assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. I know many of our listeners are listening to us from other countries, whether it's Canada, Australia, somewhere in Europe, somewhere in Asia, or somewhere in Africa. Look, you guys can access this as well. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available for those who need it. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website. Read the testimonials. They're posted daily. For instance, this one from user NU after counseling with Denise Wall Marlin for 2 years on issues concerning depression, stress, anxiety, and self-esteem. Quote, I have found Denise to be an excellent counselor. She has broad experience in all techniques to get rid of anxiety and ruminating thoughts and always puts things in perspective for me. I recommend her 100%. Hell, I hear that one. I want to sign up with Denise because I know ruminating thoughts and anxiety is something I deal with all the time. So here's what you can do, and I'll do it too. Visit BetterHelp.com/BOM. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. There's a special offer going right now for our listeners here on BOM. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/BOM. That's BetterHelp.com/BOM.
Speaking of Snoop Dogg, man, the Dogg Father came out and basically started bitching, for lack of a better word, man. Like, he's bitching about explicit lyrics in rhymes, saying that shorties could, you know, leave a little bit up to the imagination, blah, 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 blah. And whatever, you can have an opinion, you can agree or disagree with Snoop Dogg, but I think the main thing, Jerv and Trey, for me, is that this shit rings hollow from the dude that rapped, "In with your wrinkled pussy, I can't be your lover." Okay? This is the dude who dropped Doggy Style as his debut album. A woman is ain't a freaking no dog on the freaking cover. Ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Like, are you fucking kidding me, Snoop Dogg? Like, stop it. Kirk Franklin could come out and maybe say this. Lecrae could come out and maybe say this. You know, rappers who rap clean can maybe come out. And not that I would agree with them. I'd still say they're dead wrong. But I'd be willing to hear their little argument. Snoop Dogg cannot make this fucking argument. I'm sorry. Get it out of here, Snoop.
Jerv, what's my quote for the chat all the time? Let what?
Let the women have fun, man.
Let the women have fun, bro. Like, let them have fun, bro. We're not here to police. But Waz, you bring up a good point. I mentioned in the rundown was that why older generation, and I don't want to age it because the question was listed at 35 and up. And I think it's kind of modified. Why do the older generation cringe at new lyrics as if we didn't have Lil' Kim Hardcore or it's we insane. Didn't have, you know, certain Foxy, albums that had these,
like all of them.
But bro, if you I mean, I understand why the question is asked why, but if you really just think about when you was a youngin' and when for me personally, Snoop album, I tell it all the time, Doggy Style was the first joint I ever had purchased for me. I had to beg my parents to buy it for me. My mom was like, hell no, I'm not buying this. What is this on the cover? My pop was just like, yo, this is what he listened. This is what it is for them, right? Like, this is their music now. So, like, I was able to get it. But it happens every single time. We just are now officially at that age. We're in that age bracket where, you know, our music is what we listen to, and we can either choose to get down with what these youngins are saying and what they doing, or we cannot, and we can have a problem with it. Just like when you brought up Lil' Kim Hardcore. I remember when my mom used to drive me to school, and Lil' Kim Hardcore would come on, like whatever song off her album would come on. And back then,
that album, you know, turned, I mean, me into a man, Jerv.
Hello. You know what I'm saying? Like, but back then, like, you would hear B-side tracks on the radio, right? Like, and it wasn't always radio hits. You could catch a B-side track. So, like, there were certain songs that I would feel uncomfortable as a teenage boy listening to with my mom in the car. I would just feel uncomfortable listening to Lil' Kim talk all this stuff. And I'm like, yo, this is kind of crazy. I'm listening to this with my mom.
But what's the difference between Lil' Kim, Trina, Kaya, nothing, right? And now we got City Girls, we got Meg, we got Cardi B, we got, you know, these women that have sexual raps. That's not our place to speak on.
Not at all.
And be the grandstand gatekeepers of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is art, first of all. It's poetry. However you want to portray it is how you want to portray it. And if it ain't for you, don't listen. And I think it's blasphemy for Snoop Dogg to be out here saying that shit, because for one, he is a legend, but to say, like, for women to keep their thoughts private, that's sexist, bro.
Period.
We ain't co-signing none of that shit. So, Uncle Snoop, you going to either apologize or just get out the way, bro, or just have to deal with that shit.
So I'm not a kid. I mean, I don't have a kid, excuse me. And a lot of times I hear shit like this. I'm like, yo, are niggas really this scared to just talk to their daughters? Like, you just can't have a conversation with your daughter about the song? Like, father to daughter, like, we can't just have real talk about the song and what it means to express yourself that way and what might come with that and what the consequences might be or whatever, like... Dudes really that scared to talk to their kids?
I think this is me speaking with not even remotely having to have this conversation for a long time from now, right? And, you know, I can talk my shit and say, oh, you know, that's whack. You know what I mean? I could have a conversation, but I don't know how I'm going to act when I'm in the moment. And I got to finally have this talk, right? But for right now, in 2020, I think it's super duper whack that men are fathers, like, get afraid to have, like, yo, like, at some point in time, you're going to have to put your daughter on game, right? Like, the mother can put her on as much game as she wants on how to handle herself as a lady, how to maneuver this, that, and the third. But there's a certain element that the pop is going to bring to the table that no matter what the mom has been through, that she can't put them on. You know what I mean? Like, she can't put the daughter on to certain aspects, just like the pop can't put his daughter on a certain things, just because you may not have experienced those things or you know, you can't physically, I mean, you can't mentally, like, understand it to, you know, the way that you were supposed to understand it or whatever, or see it through those glasses or whatever the case may be. So I think it's super duper corny. If you're that uncomfortable with having that conversation with your child, then you need to super duper just monitor what your child is listening to, right? Like, you need to put all these parental you need to take advantage of all the parental guided Jones or whatever that's on Apple or whatever. Listen, the case
I
may
feel
be.
Like all that shit cap, because at the end of the day, at some point in time in their life, you can't escape it. You only can helicopter for so long. You know what I'm saying? And when you
got to educate them, bro.
That's it. You just got to have, like, basically have a real conversation. It's like, look, this is what's out there. You make the right choice. It's your choice, because at the end of the day, you could, like I said, you got a daughter, Jerb, a very young daughter. You look in the situation. Every year, you're going to try to monitor and hover. And sooner or later, it's going to be out of your control, regardless if you like it or not. You could have coached her up as much as you want to, but by the time she's 18, she got to make her own decisions. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And that's just a harsh reality. Because I look at people, even as being a former educator, I look in the scenario of, like, oh, I'm not going to let him do this, or I don't want them to do that, or I don't want them to do that. And then you look at them getting older and you're like, well, I did everything I possibly could to protect them. And look how they turned out. And it's like, nah, they their own person, regardless of how you tried to shield them from that. Like, I think it's more better if you have the conversation, like, sure, by like 10, 11, 12, you start to be like, look, this is the music that's out here. Hey, you know, long as you don't start cursing in front of me and your mom, long as you don't start doing this.
Yeah.
Because, bro, you block creativity. That's what I mean. You know what I'm saying? When you when you start creating these rules, you taking away any type of mental capacity that your child possibly could have had. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that you should just expose them to The Simpsons and all kind of shit. That's just, you know what I mean? It might be not age appropriate, but if you can monitor it to a certain extent, they can spend a night over a friend's house and see that shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, and again, you know, Snoop. I would hope if when he's doing something like this, he would at least acknowledge his own role in explicit lyrics and rap as being one of the forefathers of it. And, you know, just the fact that nobody's going to lecture the dude who made Throat Baby about Throat Baby. Like, nobody's going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just going to happen and nobody's going to care. It's sexually explicit. We know he's talking about oral sex and we're moving on with our lives, right? Like, nobody's going to be like, you need to moderate your message because you shouldn't rap about dick and pussy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, the censorship is Snoop showing his age with that. And I'm somebody with a, you know, obviously an immense amount of respect for Snoop. I'm a huge fan, right? Like, I was raised on the guy's music, but he's dead wrong for this one. And we can move on to Power, Trey. I'm gonna send it over to you, sort of set us up. I'm into the restart. I caught both episodes this morning. I just gotta say, I like how strategic Tyreek is. He's a strategic cat. I just like that at least he puts thoughts into his actions when that just wasn't the fucking case back in the day when you know he was getting tangled up with crooked cops and all kinds of getting his sister killed and all of that. Like, there seems to be some forethought into what he does these days.
Well, I can say that Tariq is now showing more of what he's learned from every character that was in part of his life and his growth. You know what I'm saying? He has a splash of a little bit everything, and you put a twist on that of his book smarts. You know what I'm saying? He has like a certain wit. You know, he has a, you know, a little bit of Tommy. He has Kanan. He has Ghost. He has Tasha. And everybody that's involved, and then you factor it in with his own personality, he's able to become this likable character in Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Power Book 2. It start the episode off with Tariq not getting what he wanted. Obviously, he was dependent on this, you know, this achievement in order to graduate early, and he wasn't selected. So that starts off on a negative end. And then we've bounced around, but I wanted to highlight Carrie and Jabari, two of the most unneeded characters in this series.
Hey, Trey.
Wait, hold on. Which one is Jabari now, Trey?
Jabari is homie that be writing the books. Mark Lamont and Hillface.
Oh, the teacher. Teacher man.
Yeah, I don't know why that makes me laugh every fucking time. Which was Carrie? That's the ball player?
Nah, Carrie. Oh, Carrie is the...
That's homegirl's boyfriend?
Nah, Carrie is the what's her name?
She's the
instructor. Yo, the counselor.
I just gotta say this. I was watching this episode and yo, I've never seen so many lame Negroes in one episode in my life, bro. Like, I've never seen it's a TV show, so I get why it's the things that are happening.
It's also a soap opera, so keep going.
Oh my Lord, bro. Like, at first I got mad at my... What's the basketball player, boy?
Zeke. My man Zeke.
First, I got mad at Zeke. I was like, bro, what are you doing? Like, yo, you have the perfect situation. Like,
but then
I remember he's super duper young. She's super duper older. And she's doing things and having him experience
pussy on
things.
The sideburns.
Oh, my God. My man straight said, what I'm going to the Q party for? I got everything I need.
Because, Jerv, you got to think about that, first of all. He know he in a situation where he supposed to be getting bread. He know he in a situation where he got groupies that can be in a situation. For one, he feel like he getting a bar off, banging a teacher. Then she doing all, she putting that thing on him. For one, she probably cooking for my young boy. He ain't got to pay nothing. She got bread because she, you know what I mean, in his situation. And for what it's worth, he want to keep it going. You know what I'm saying? He don't want it to be a fling where it just kind of, you know, going, but he don't also know that she got a sexual appetite that's crazy like a young person. You know what I'm saying?
He about to be a top whatever pick in the next upcoming draft, bruh. No disrespect. I mean this respectfully. My man. My man. Respectfully, my man. Just relax, yo. Just got to relax.
I ain't going to hold you, Jer. She bad, though. She nice.
Oh, she's nice.
She's
super
very
bad,
she's very
bro.
Tough, but he's gonna meet very tough more other that tough first night butter.
Staples Center is gonna be legendary for him.
So we find Jabari pulling up to the residence unannounced. You know, he's getting really nosy. He's seeing basketball. Why did Jabari assume that it was Tariq? Tariq ain't showed us no athletic bone in his body, man.
Yeah. You know that that meme on the internet when cats be like rent free? That's Tariq in this with this dude, son. Like, he's just obsessed with Tariq. And he just thinks because he's a street dude, his pops is a legend in the streets, he's a little Poindexter cornball. He feels intimidated by Tariq, even though the kid is 19 or 18 years old or whatever Tariq is in this season. It's freaking hilarious, but I wanted to ask y'all, like, and this is no cap. I have never shown up to a woman's crib unannounced in my life.
Never. Never.
Because I don't want to knock on somebody's door and there's a nigga. And, like, yo, like, I want to be able to, you know, have my appetite for the rest of the week. Waking up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. You just thinking about what the shorty's doing. Like, why would you want to do that to your life, fam? Stay your ass home. Text. Yo, is it cool if we link? Like, do not, yo, our listeners out there, if you ever even thought about doing this, do not ever, 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 ever show up to a woman's house unannounced. Ever, bro. Even your girl, you're not supposed to be showing up unannounced.
Hey, come it on, ain't man. Player and it ain't cool. And I don't know whoever made that shit cool. That shit gonna get the police called on you. And you might get shot showing up unannounced, family.
Yo, how lame are you that you have this 17, 18, 19-year-old kid living rent-free in your mind? And you, from all purposes of watching this show, I think dude's the lamest character ever. But he seems to have his pick at whatever he wants, bruh. So
nah, not to the point where Tariq writing them bars, making it look real easy, bro. He basically ghostwriting his book for him. And then also, you assuming that he banging your ex or whatever the joint was to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like he jealous of him. He been jealous of him from day one, so he trying to make it hard for him.
Well, again, if you were this accomplished professor, you done wrote all these books, you done did this, you done did that, and had this, and you letting this little 18-year-old kid live rent-free in your mind, I'm sorry, bro. I don't care what kind of car you got. I don't care how crazy your crib is with the view. You are lame, and your money, nothing will change that, and I can't deal with squares. That's just not me. I can't do it. Like, I can't have no squares, bro, and he's a super-duper square, like super-duper square lame person. I can't bang with him.
Can we talk about Kane, bro, and how off the leash he is right now? He is going to get somebody killed. You know what I mean? He almost slipped up and let Monet get done by Extension, homie-looking face. You know what I'm saying? During the delivery, you know what I mean? During the pickup. And, you know, he's just out here reckless. He done got the crooked cop involved, trying to flip on Tariq. And it's just, you know, he robbing churches. He running with street gang punks. Then got robbing picked
churches,
up.
Churches, bro. Like, you robbing the church, bro.
Listen, he is out of control. And that's the thing. And it's like, it's crazy because Monet and Lorenzo playing tug of war with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, although it's my kid. No, it's my kid. And who raises him right? And he just a ticking time bomb. He gonna fuck it all up. He gonna get himself killed in the process.
Yeah, I mean, Kane's a moron, bro. Like, you got... I just don't understand how you just don't understand that the bigger picture where, like, Monet's expanding, bro. Like, she ain't cutting you out. It's expansion, bro. This is what happens. But Negroes is going Negro.
You know what I mean? Like the jealousy and the envy for no reason whatsoever is facts. And you know what, man? I'm into this book two thing for another reason. The writing has gotten better. Like, so that instance where he gets the two, Braden and Braden's brother or whatever he is, his cousin or whatever, to pitch on the block for him, right? I was just sitting there like, yo, this is the dumbest shit I ever seen, right? But in old power, it would have just been. That would have just been a plot point, and we would have just moved on, and it would have been completely stupid, implausible, and ridiculous, and we would have moved on. But in this version of power, you know, the dude goes to his mom and is like, yo, son, he's reckless. He's stupid. He's doing dumb shit. I'm like, wow, like, this show is changing, bro. Like, people do dumb shit, and there's actually accountability for it. I just love the direction of book two, man. It's just better to me.
Speaking of people doing dumb shit, can one of you two explain to me why Tariq didn't just say, yo, you got to stop messing with homegirl because her uncle is the district attorney?
Well, he don't want people to know that he's connected to Sax.
He don't want Shorty to know that he knows.
Cool, but Braden is his man.
No, not that. No,
nah,
but Braden
you can't trust white boy. You can't trust son.
No, but that's fact. But Braden's not supposed to know that he know who Sax is. How does he know Sax? And what's the connection? Because again, regardless if he says that, then it's kind of like, oh, you working with the ops? Or, you know what I'm saying? Braden gonna get too nosy. You know what I'm saying? Although he down and he can do the handshake and all that shit, he can flip at any moment. So he just tried to do a different route. Have y'all been in a situation like Tariq where you had to make up you had to tell your man that his girl was wilding?
Man, the Braden character is fun for me. Like, I like they're not doing the Tommy thing all over again. Like, this is his own, like, obviously the parallels are there, right? Like, that's Tariq's Tommy, essentially. His white boy that he's a business partner with. But, you know, this dude is not from the street. He comes from money. He's very aware of his privilege and how he uses it to his benefit. But you can see that he, you know, some of the stuff with Tommy is like, outside of being a goon and willing to kill people, like, he didn't make sense as a business partner. It's not like he came up with dope schemes and all. He was just muscle. Like, this kid, you can see, has some type of ingenuity. And you can see why somebody might want to be in business with him. Because he does have hustle. He does have some level of smarts, just not when it comes to shorties. So I like what they're doing with the Braden kid. It's a dope little character to introduce to show you, like, what you can do when you come from privilege. You can more easily get away with stuff. Yeah, access is crazier where you don't have to hit the block. You hit the frat party. That's your block, right? I like what they're doing with that character, man. And I know you guys are going to continue with this conversation. I actually have to head out. Peace and salute to y'all. I'll be in contact with y'all pretty soon. Later, y'all. Rob said don't make a stupid face when I hang up, so I'm going to go like this.
Anyways, man, thanks, Waz. I'm going to pick this up. We still got a couple minutes left for this. Jerv, what was your thoughts in the scenario of Tariq acting like he never seen a dead body before?
I'll be honest. I didn't catch it at first. Because at first I was like, damn, that's wild, yo, Tariq seen all this. And then like a couple minutes later, I was like, Jerry, what are you talking about, dog? Tariq's like, yo, this boy done did this, he done did that. So I actually, while I actually disagree with Wise, I actually thought this was a super duper trash episode. Like, I thought this episode was, I found myself saying that's such a power thing to happen right then and there. But I do fool with the little tiny detail things that happen, like whether, like you said, this episode is, you know, Tariq putting on the front to be like, you know, I do think he was impacted, you know what I mean, to a degree, because I mean, you know, while I have no experience at this, I gotta imagine it never, if you're into that lifestyle and this is what you do, I gotta imagine it never gets easy. Like, there's always some sort of psychological thing that happens to you every single time you witness or you're a part of or whatever. But I do fool with the little tiny little things, how this week it was Tariq with the, you know, acting as if he's never done this before. And it's just like, oh my God, I'm just this naive kid. But in all actuality, we know what he's been through. Or whether it was last week's episode where he banged over the, when Brayden knocked over the chessboard, right? Like, at first I was like, oh yeah, you know, oh, here we go. Such a dramatic scene. Oh, he knocked over the chessboard. And then my man was like, oh no, you forgot. You know, that's the code. And I was like, oh, okay, here you go. Shout out the power. That went over my head. I didn't peep it. I didn't even think y'all would go to that second level of, you know, type
they
shit.
They trying to make it as deep as it is. And I think that something that we brushed over is sex week, you know, obviously being in the college.
My man is the first history in the history of sex weeks, which I've never heard of because I went to an HBCU and I guess it was just don't exist sex week. But correct me if I'm wrong, Tariq didn't get any during sex week, right? Like, he seemed to be the only person not getting any games during sex week.
He has not had sex through this entire series. Mm. Every situation that he's been through, I think the only joint that he closed, if he did close, was Shorty in the old power joint, who ended up flipping on him. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
The little Spanish homegirl, right?
Nah, not even her. I'm talking about back the girl, the first girl that he got into that got him drinking lean.
Okay. Yep. I forgot all about that.
But in this series, he has, you know, he's not really focused on that. I mean, obviously, this episode was really about power. You know what I mean? And you have to think about all the shifts of how many people felt like they had power in this situation, whether it was Davis, whether it was Sachs, whether it was Monet, whether it was Tariq, whether it was Brayden. They all felt some sense of power at the particular connection. And I think that's the thing that most people, you know, I know you didn't enjoy it as much, but you have to kind of sit back and look at what they're trying to give off. And yes, some of the scenes were definitely, you know, bad acting, because Monet could do a little bit better, Mary J. Blige character, as, you know, really selling it, because Method Man's been, he's picked it up.
No,
the Davis character has picked it up. You know what I'm saying? And obviously we have that factor of power rankings of what characters being likable and what's not. Tariq was actually likable in his character this episode, because he was just showing different ranges. And you see him now being street smart, you know, him telling, you know, Sax's niece. And peeping the seam and understanding, and like, okay, yeah, he could have closed Shorty, but he got blood all on his shirt. And that's a whole nother explanation that he got to give off. You know what I'm saying? So now he's starting to be a little bit smarter and understand, okay, do I tell Brayden about Sax? But then if I tell Brayden about Sax, now Sax is going to be, I mean, Brayden's going to ask me, how do I know Sax? Not knowing it can mess up my mom's case.
Right.
Vice versa. You can go on down the line, but now Tariq is now in good with the family and in too deep. He helped get rid of the body. Kane's feeling disposable, and I think Kane's going to continue to go after. Now Tariq's just gaining enemies in this series. You're going to have Jabari, who's...
I think he gets stalking. I think he now gets killed, by the way.
That's fine. You can kill that character off, because he's just pointless right now. And then you got Kane, who's going to try to have some sort of jealousy, and I think that, you know, in that situation. But I'm waiting to, maybe if Tariq hooks up with 2-Bit and uses him as protection to take out Kane, or in certain situation of how it can go. What's your predictions for next episode?
So I actually, my initial thought was I thought Jabari dies next episode because I felt like they show Kane shooting somebody and process of elimination. I just felt like it had to be him. So I want to say that, but the other part of me is like, I think they might have to do a little more with his book. He has to do a little bit more with the book in order to really go. But if I had to, you know, I guess my initial thought would be Jabari. There's a potential that Jabari either dies or he gets shot this next particular episode by Kane. I think Kane takes a step in the direction of separating himself from the family, and ultimately that'll end up with Kane's demise. You know what I'm saying? Because in the history of trying to take down the family, you know what I mean, that doesn't usually go well for the person that goes rogue. You know what I mean? They end up trusting the wrong person, and then that person intel tells back to the boss and then gets the cool points and then rises in the rank. So I think that he dies. I mean, I think Jabari probably gets shot this episode. I think that we're probably going to get Brayden is probably going to pillow talk. And I'm not even mad at the young boy, dog, because in the history of the game, I heard a lot of homies do a lot of pillow talking, bro. When that thing is being put on them to a degree, we tend to ram a little bit. So I think he's gonna, probably do a little pillow talking. But at the end of the day, because of that dynamics that he's building with Tyreek, you know, it'll all come full circle and they'll figure it out. But I think next episode we'll see a little bridge in the gap between those two. We'll see a little conflict between Tyreek and Brayden and the trust factor, because they kept harping on that. That trust was a huge word in this episode. I did pick up on that. Trust was a huge word in this episode. And I think that Brayden's girl is going to, quote unquote, keep it real with him and kind of get a little bit of a lead in this race with Tyreek in order to control Brayden, right? Like, her and Tyreek are basically in this rat race to control Brayden to get what they want from them. And right now, Tyreek is, you know, he made the attempt to get better. I mean, to have a bigger lead on her. But, she'll have some receipts somehow, somewhere.
Jerv, this sounds like you actually like this episode, man.
Nah,
bro. This breakdown, nah, honestly.
Nah, I didn't like this episode, dude. Like, I didn't like this episode because it's... They running into the door, like it was so predictable that her boyfriend was gonna come in. Like, why we not locking doors in college? I don't get it. You just had the boy just running through condoms. My thing is, we might get a little physical. Let's go lock the door. But nope, Power had to let the boyfriend walk up there and be the boyfriend.
Which was a hilarious scene, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
nigga.
Listen, bro. And in the history of women, in the history of individuals making right choices. You know what I mean? Who they should go with and thinking about long-term plays as for the short-term plays. She's clearly making the wrong decision, because my man is going to be somebody's doctor with a crazy crib with the Audi A8.
He was wilding with those pictures, though.
Oh, no. He's a nut. He's a nut. He's a nut. Like, he was the other person. Him and Jabari were some of the nuttiest characters. They did some of the nuttiest things I've ever seen in my power watching days. And I couldn't co-sign that. I wanted to ask a lot of times, whose man is this? Like, where are your homies at, bro? Like, where's homies? Like, he has to go back and be like, yo, bro, she over here mess, you know what I mean? She got this one boy in her class. She's always with him. Da-da-da-da. He needs the homie be like, can't save this one, bro. You might as well just take this degree you about to get and flourish, young king. You know what I mean? Like, They gotta make a different pick.
He's trying to marry into her family, though, bro. So I get it. My prediction is definitely something's going to happen. I don't think Jabari gets killed off. I don't think Kane gets killed off in this episode. I think they'll still have some leeway in it. But it will, obviously with the sneak peek, Jabari is going to get in too deep and find out some shit that he's not supposed to. And maybe get kidnapped by Kane. I'm tortured a little bit. I don't know.
I could go for that.
I do like your theory with Brayden, missing his girl, checking, doubling back. His girl opens up and finally tells the truth. But then it's kind of on the have to play the right card? Does he protect his own ass, or does he, you know, look out for Tariq? And I think he chooses himself over it, and Tariq finds out that he can't trust him, you know? And then also in another scenario, I think that, you know, Diana and Tariq get closer, mm-hmm. you know, and in that situation.
Bruh, hold up. You just made me think. Power. It was such a power move. So, you know, Monet is the type that trips, right? In what world does it make sense? Now, it worked out, but in what world does it make sense to A, call Tariq up to come to the most important part of your operation, right? Without her okay. And then you're going to let my man use his cell phone when she got the ultimate no cell phone policy at the drop? That's the stuff I didn't like about the episode. But it's a soap opera. It's a soap opera. Hey, yeah, I'm going second level, bro.
Listen, always, whenever you get mad, just say it's a soap opera.
Yes.
Soap opera.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
It is, bro. Like, as I say, those two characters don't need to be involved. They have to be involved because it's a soap opera.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
We have to accept that. No show is perfect. Another show I'm checking out right now that I want everybody to check out. We might not discuss it, but Industry is pretty dope. This has been another episode of Black Opinions Matters. On behalf of John Gervais, Black Trey, myself, Big Waz, and Amina Hassan, who's on injured reserve, and we'll be back next week. That's all, folks.
All right, yeah.